Yeah, well, you know, just starting the week, you know, obviously on a very buoyant note because politicians in the US have agreed to shifting the debt ceiling. It takes that off the table for about another 2 years. And so as a result of that, you know, obviously we're going to get some lift running through risk assets. There was a powerful rally running through the US on Friday, and yeah, that'll translate into the first part of this week. But you know, one of the underlying themes I think that's running through all this is that, if anything, that adds to the pressure for the Fed to probably lift rates a bit further and to keep those rates higher for longer. And it runs in tandem with something we've noticed in the US economy for some time, and that is that, you know, whilst you've got a bond yield curve in the US which is saying recession's coming way down the there, no problem, deeply inverse yield curve, it hasn't happened, not yet. It's been proving really slow to come this cycle, even with one of the more aggressive monetary policy tightening cycles we've had in recent times. So yeah, we've still got that pressure point, and if anything, the euphoria that comes off the debt ceiling yeah, probably helps to make sure that interest rates have to go a bit higher yet before the Fed gets the sort of slowing it needs through economic activity. And to prove that point, the data last week, the key reading really was the non-farm payrolls data. And yeah, we're still getting really strong jobs growth running through the US. Non-farm payrolls were expected to lift in May by 180,000. They lifted by 339,000. And the previous month was revised up from 253,000 to 294,000. In short, you know, we've been averaging a bit over 300,000 a month over the last 2 months. You know, that's got to slow to about a tenth that pace before the Fed can see a labour market which is showing some signs of softness, which means that wages will be under some sort of reasonable control. We had May average hourly earnings came out. Year on year was, as the market expected, 4.3%, down a touch from 4.4%. Yeah, that one's got to go way down into the threes. And part of the problem, you know, is productivity. Yeah, we've heard about it from our own Reserve Bank governor here. Well, US productivity is not going well either. And so Q1 non-farm productivity came out during the course of last week. It's minus 2.1%. Yeah, it's a bit better from the first look at it when it was 2.7. But yeah, obviously you've got not only no labour productivity, you've got less than no labour productivity with wages rising at over 4% year on year. So yeah, that's what's going to make it a really sticky business getting inflation down. Yeah, we've had some benefit from goods prices coming off, which have helped to get the inflation rate down a bit. But it's going to get bogged down when you're getting those sorts of numbers coming through, unless you get much weaker US economic activity. Now, that can come through, but you know, we haven't got a lot of evidence of that in the data yet, other than the goods sector. And in the goods sector, yeah, so we had the May Chicago Purchasing Managers Index came out last week. In the Midwest, that indicator came down to 40.4 from 48.6. This is the first of the regional indicators we've had, which is into genuine recession territory. But we'll wait and see if it stays there and it's reflected in, you know, other of the regional indicators, and more particularly the manufacturing ISM. And yeah, the other point about this, well, the May manufacturing ISM came out last week, and it's 46.9, so it's still not down there in the low 40s where we got that regional indicator down. So yeah, that's the pressure point that's running through the US, and yeah, that's what we'll be looking at in the data that comes out over the next few weeks, particularly running into the Fed meeting, which is next week. And so the next Fed meeting is Wednesday next week. And at this stage, it's a line ball call, but more likely than not, the Fed's going to lift the funds rate another 25 basis points to 5.5%. Now, the data this week, not a lot of it. We get the May ISM non-manufacturing PMI, comes out on Tuesday, and this one's still sitting above 50. So it's still in expansionary territory. It was at 51.9 going back to April. Market's looking for 51.8. And that's what's been so unusual about this slowing cycle in the US. Normally, you get goods and services slowing almost in tandem. This time around, goods have slowed a great deal early in the cycle, but we haven't had that translation through to services. Services are still running strongly. And, of course, services employ a lot more people than the goods sector. So it's one of the reasons which is keeping the labour market very tight and is meaning this is like a train wreck. It's a real slow-burn train wreck for the US economy as it slows. That's what's keeping the Fed needing to take even more chances with monetary policy. Other data points, probably watching initial jobless claims. That's the only other major one this week. Just to see if there's any hint of weakness. You have had a lift in initial jobless claims to 232,000 for the most recent week, but it's hovering around that level, and that's not a particularly weak reading. So you're watching some of those indicators. Moving to China and the data there, it's a similar sort of pattern. Yeah, they're in rebound mode, but it's a slowing rebound. We had their May manufacturing PMI came out, and it's below 50. It was at 49.2 going back to the month of April. It slowed a bit further to 48.8 on the official reading. Oddly enough, the more reliable private sector reading, the Kaixin reading, which came out later in the week, showed a different story. That went actually up from 49.5 to 50.9. So potentially China's goods sector still holding in there, but its non-manufacturing sector or services sector is very strong. Yes, it's not quite as strong as the rebound numbers we had after they started to ease a lot of restrictions. If you went back to the month of April, we had a reading of 56.4, extremely strong for this particular Chinese reading. It came back to 54.5, but that's still a very strong expansionary reading and suggests that the services sector is becoming a driver for Chinese economic activity. This week, out of China, we'll get the Kaixin services sector PMI out today. That was at 56.4 last month. Let's see if it holds up around there. And then we get international trade data and also their inflation readings later in the week. As far as trade's concerned in China, it has lifted, but it's starting to settle a bit. So on the export side, their exports are up 8.5% year on year going back to April. That's expected to fade back a bit to 8%, and that's consistent with some slowing through global economic activity. And we also get their inflation rate, May CPI and PPI come out on Friday. Inflation's low in China, so that slowing they had through their economy with all the various restrictions really took a cane to the inflation rate. And the year-on-year change for the CPI was only 0.1%. Other countries would give their eye teeth for that if they could get it. It is expected to lift a little bit for May to plus 0.4%, but there's still an extremely low inflation rate. And producer prices have actually been falling a bit in China. So going back to April, they were down 3.6% year on year. That's expected to be around about minus 3.2% year on year when we get the figure through for May on Friday this week. And we said before, if anything, it gives flexibility there for the People's Bank of China in need if they need to do anything with monetary policy. Moving to Australia, and we had some interesting data reads last week. Perhaps the most worrying one was the April CPI. The April monthly CPI showed a lift, which was unexpected. It was down at 6.3%. Well, I say down, there's still a very, very high inflation reading. It was 6.3% year on year, going back to March. It was expected to show a similar reading for the month of April. It lifted quite powerfully to 6.8%. It's coming through very much so in grocery prices. And we've had some other private research which suggests that grocery prices have lifted a lot in April and May. So this is not good news in terms of the inflation rate for Australia. It suggests that not only is it getting sticky, it could actually be going in the wrong direction in the very near term. We had some data relating to housing on several fronts. The first one was April home building approvals came out. They were down by 8.1%. That was after a fall of 1% the month before. They're down 25-odd% year on year. The actual numbers down around the 11,500 home building approvals a month. When home building approvals are going well, they're above 20,000 a month. You very rarely see them down around the 10 or 11,000 a month. That's really weak, and suggests that the supply of new homes is going to stay pretty constrained. We had the CoreLogic house price data came out, showing house price another 1% the most recent month. We've had this problem with shortage of listings, with demand still coming through, causing a bit of a headache because you've got this house price pressure which is starting to show through again, but it may not last very long. We also had April housing finance commitments came out, the leading indicator of home loan. And whilst this was stronger going back to February and March, back in March we had a lift of 5.5% month on month in the value of housing finance commitments. And of course, by the time those housing finance commitments are actually taken up and are spent in the housing market, often you get a lag of several weeks. In April, we did expect another rise. It fell by 3.8%. So this is just giving us some indication that what we've seen through house prices, whilst it's disturbing in the very near term for the inflation rate, there may be something of a dead cat bounce in this, in that we're now going into a period where we've got the peak months, where we're getting the mortgage cliff coming into play, with something like 800,000 of those loans coming up for rollover over the course of this period in the next few months. That's one part, and it may be that just the threat that interest rates here may still have to go up further may also take some steam out their market. So whilst the longer-term factors still point towards house prices going up, you can't overcome these issues that might arise with the cost of housing finance and the ability of people to be able to bid house prices the way they've been doing. So there's some risk that things might turn over a bit again as far as house prices are concerned. We had Q1 construction work done, Q1 private capital expenditure numbers came out last week as well. These were actually quite firm. Q1 construction work done was up 1.8% quarter on quarter, and that followed an upwardly revised 1% increase going back to Q4 last year. And private capital expenditure, it lifted by 2.4%. That's almost double what the market expected. Plant machinery in particular was pretty strong, up 3.7%. So this may feature as a pretty strong element in the GDP read that comes out this week on Wednesday. Moving to this week, obviously all eyes are on the RBA meeting that comes up on Tuesday. But it's right in the middle of a data dump for Australia, really. Before we get to the RBA meeting just over this next couple of days, today we've got the Melbourne Institute inflation indicator for the most recent month. Last month it rose by 0.2% in the month. Be interesting to see what it shows for this month, but some of the research that's been done on grocery prices is correct. You'd expect to see it as a reasonable rise. We get ANZ job ads. These have been declining slowly over the last month or two, but are still up over 30% year on year. So that comes out today. We also get the first quarter company profits from the Australian Bureau of Statistics. That had a huge rise going back to Q4 last year, probably less of a rise for Q1. Back in Q4, just in one quarter, company profits in Australia lifted 10.6%. Probably the market thinks that'll come back to about 1.5%. We get business inventories, what business is paid on wages, that comes out today. Tomorrow we get, before the RBA meeting, we get the latest current account and the net export contribution to GDP. Current account still well in surplus, and net exports are expected to contribute. The market thinks as much as 1.3 percentage points to quarterly GDP on Wednesday. We get the RBA meeting. Last week, I thought on balance, you know, we're just getting to that point where the RBA could probably stay on hold. Obviously, that's been challenged a bit over this past week. It's been challenged by the inflation read that we got for the monthly. The other part that challenged it was the Fair Work Australia determination about the minimum wage. This will come into effect from July the 1st. And for awards which are close to the minimum wage, they determined that they should get a pay increase of 5.75%. But for those who are actually on the minimum wage, and there's about 180,000 workers on that, they determined that they should get an 8.6% increase in wages. Now, in total, that determination means that about a fifth of the workforce will get at least 5.75% pay increase from their first pay packet after July the 1st. Obviously, that's going to send the wage price index high. The most recent wage price index reading was at 3.7% year-on-year for the first quarter of this year. By the time we get through to the third quarter reading, that's going to be way above 4%. And yet 4% is the peak that both Treasury and the RBA are expecting for later this year before wage growth starts to come down. That's clearly not the case. You know, it's clearly going to be higher than that. If anything, I'm hoping that they will leave rates unchanged on Tuesday, but the risk has moved towards them doing another quarter. So that's the risk on with the RBA meeting that's coming up. And whatever they do, the rate structure we get, given the way that things are moving in Australia, mean that we're going to be sitting at these higher rates for a very long time. Yeah, that's the other part I think that's got to permeate markets, is that there's no possibility of them being bought down at any stage in the very near future, because there's too much pressure running through. And we'll see, you know, whether, you know, growth is still reasonably robust on Wednesday. We get Q1 GDP comes out, and the market at this stage, admittedly there's quite a dispersion of what people think about Q1 GDP, but the market consensus is 0.8% quarter on quarter. That's actually stronger than Q4 last, 0.5. That would leave the year-on-year rate at 2.7%. 2.7% is roughly our long-term average growth rate. So there's no sign of slowing in this, and there has to be a fair bit of slowing to get on top of the inflation pressures which are running through Australia. After that, it'll get ignored, but we'll get April international trade data. Trade has been phenomenally strong. And going back to the month of March, we had a $15.3 billion trade surplus, mostly driven by strong exports. We think it'll come back a bit, but you're still going to have pretty strong export growth running through it, but still going to get a trade surplus of the order of about $12.7 billion. Moving briefly to Europe, the data we had there over the course of the past week, slightly better news on the inflation rate. It was expected to come down back in April. It was at 7%. It was sticky at 7%. It was expected with some of the pullback running through energy prices to come back to about 6.3%. It came back to 6.1% year on year. Also, the underlying inflation rate came back from 7.3 to 6.9. That's still pretty high as far as ECB is concerned, way too high. So, yeah, when they get to their next meeting, which is next week as well, they're probably likely to be lifting or hiking the cash rate again, or their deposit rate, currently at 3.25%, probably go to 3.5%, but that's not this week, that's next week. We had the April unemployment rate came out. Still very tight labour market in Europe, even though you've got signs of slowing growth. It came down to 6.5% from 6.6%, so a low point for the last quarter century. This week in Europe, we'll get some producer price information. That's still running relatively firm on a year-on-year basis, 5.9% year-on-year. Some retail sales data that was soft in March but may have lifted a little bit in April, and the revision to their Q1 GDP, which is expected to be flat or up 1.2% year-on-year. So, yeah, not a lot, great deal of data to really move things out of Europe. But where we're watching things, yeah, we got the euphoria post the debt ceiling deal out of the US and how that runs through markets. And yeah, we're watching central banks over this next couple of weeks, and we start with our own this week on Tuesday with the GDP close to follow, and also be watching then the Fed and the ECB going into next week.